Many of you are familiar with some of the contemporary taglines of the United Church of Christ. God is still speaking is a phrase that we use to help us understand that God's revelation in the world is ongoing and continues to this day. Similarly, never place a period where God has placed a comma is a phrase attributed to Gracie Allen that our church has used for over a decade now to remind people that God has yet more in store for us. I have to remember a previous new member class that I had in which one of the candidates said, I have to join a church that quotes Gracie Allen. The posters upstairs in Pilgrim Hall have some taglines that are a little less familiar, but one of my favorites is, our faith is 2,000 years old, but our thinking is not. As we come together today for the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the door at Wittenberg Cathedral, an older tagline of the United Church of Christ comes to mind for me today. We are reformed and reforming. It's not as catchy as the more modern phrases, but it's just as important. It highlights the fact that we are part of the reformed tradition, that the Reformation, and especially the reforms of John Calvin, are important to our church. But more interesting to us today is that we are called to be reforming. Every once in a while, we'll have people come to worship who grew up in this church. Often after worship, they will greet me with a half smile and say, well, the church sure has changed in the last 50 years. And I'll smile back and say, yep, it sure has. Well, in my mind is saying, thank God it has. You better hope it has. The church is a living institution, and if it's going to continue living, it's going to change. Have any of you not changed? In the last week, the last month, the last year, the last 50 years? We smile back and say, I sure hope that it has changed. This dance between being entrenched and eternal, fluid and reforming, is more common in life and in human systems than we might like to imagine. This dance between orthodoxy and reformation is something that we do all the time. It's part of how we navigate our relationships and whether to stay or to go. It's part of how we dance between rigidity and fluidity in our jobs, in our exercise programs, in our diets. We dance it as our bulletin prayers allude to, figure out what it is that we truly value. Figure out what God is to us. Figure out what it means to live a godly life. Lest we imagine that this is just a modern-day issue, struggling with the rules of our faith versus the new situations we find ourselves in, we can just look to our gospel. In today's text from Matthew, the Sadducees and Pharisees are plotting to trap Jesus. He's a threat to their way of being. Not only do they think that they have things all figured out, they think that their way of doing faith, their way of engaging God, is the way. There are 613 laws in the Old Testament, and they thought that if you followed those explicitly, that was what God wanted of you. The problem, of course, was for those for whom the laws were not designed. The lepers, the woman with the hemorrhage, those who got sick on the Sabbath, the people who aren't served by the current system. That's when we get this interaction. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." People of Jesus' day and Martin Luther's had gotten so stuck in religion that they had lost sight of the magnificence of God. And Jesus boiled things back down to the essentials. In Martin Luther's time, much like in Jesus' time, the church and society had both become deeply corrupted. And so Martin Luther sought to reshape the faith once again. He advocated what have become known as the five solas, the five onlys. Only Scripture, only faith, only grace, only Christ, only to God be the glory. Only Scripture was in response to the church tradition being seen as a source of God's wisdom, as well as the Bible. Luther thought that if we hold tight to the Bible alone, we wouldn't be led astray. What Luther didn't foresee was that sola scriptura, only Scripture, only the Bible, would devolve into a culture-hating literalism in which the Bible has become an idol. I would even go so far as to suggest that this culture-hating literalism is at the core of many of our social problems today. Instead, we need to recover the fact that faithfulness to Scripture can mean challenging Scripture when it deviates from God's graceful presence. This is part of the glory of the United Church of Christ's theology of continuing testament, that God can and does continue to act in our lives and reveal God's self in new ways. Believing in the Bible is not exclusive to also believing in science and reason. It has been said that Scripture needs to always be approached as an open door, not a closed closet. The second of those onlys, only faith, was a response to the theology of works righteousness, that is, the idea that your actions can achieve your salvation, that what you do, and especially what you buy, can get you into heaven. Luther's teaching is that we are saved by faith and not by works. It's important, but not when it loses sight of the fact that how we behave is important. Our behavior is a gracious gift back to God for what we have received. That third sola, only grace, again, what it is not. Too often since the Reformation, teachings on God's grace have devolved into teachings on human depravity. We're not worthy and all of that. God's grace is not in spite of who we are, but rather because of who God is. Let that sink in again. God's grace is not in spite of who you are, but rather because of who God is. A modern reformation of the sola grace invites us to live abundantly, fully, and creatively, rooted in the love of God and not in our sinfulness. Only Christ. Only Christ was Luther's response to the centrality of the Pope. By saying only Christ is at the center of our faith, he was saying that the Roman hierarchy is not. Unfortunately, in the 500 years since Luther proclaimed this, this has been co-opted to mean that there is no salvation outside of the church or outside of a specific doctrine. Friends, grace is not grace if it's limited to adherence to one particular doctrine or religion. God can and God does give grace to all. because that is what grace is. God loves you, no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey. Christ liberates us to seek truth and healing wherever they are found, whether it's in the laboratory or in the library or in a hospital or in the Ganges or at Mecca. Christ is alive and moving within us to fulfill us with healing and justice-seeking and life-transforming mission. The last of those solas, only to God be the glory. A great way that I have heard this sola lifted up and make sense in my life is a quote that says that God's greatest glory is in human beings fully alive. That's how we can give God glory, by being fully alive, by being fully who it is that God created us to be. But along with the solas, or onlys that I just named, there was another tagline of the Reformation. Semper Reformanda, always reforming. This one seems to have been lost over time. It seems that the rigidity of the onlys has overshadowed the always. And so as we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I chose to pair Jesus' schooling of the Pharisees and Sadducees with the passage from Jeremiah that Michael read, the passage about the potter. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah, saying, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there you will hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making was of clay, and it was spoiled by the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Cannot I do that with you? Just as the potter has done, just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand." Friends, our church and our world are wholly and completely infused with the grace of God, while at the same time in deep need of reformation. May we have the grace to be agents of that reformation, both in our lives and in the world. Alleluia and amen.